The Lions Unchained podcast, where the shackles of your mind are broken. There comes a time when we either embrace the truth or remain in darkness forever. The Lions Unchained podcast offers you the light of God's truth. The rest is up to you. Join Carl Joseph now for a powerful, life-changing word.
Friend, in a recent broadcast, I mentioned to you four systems of atheism that have wreaked havoc upon humanity since the 19th century especially. These four so-called isms are positivism, secularism, pessimism, and socialism. The fixation of this broadcast will be the second item on the list, namely secularism. If one looks up this word in the dictionary, you'll soon realize it categorizes the complete and utter removal of God from society, and the denial of any supernatural element of our existence. For them, everything in the universe must be explainable in terms of natural laws alone. The supernatural components of our creation are ignored, and of course God is ignored because he's our supernatural creator. In practice, secular humanism has become the philosophy that man is the chief end of man, and that man's happiness is his supreme purpose. However, Paul Johnson, the famous British historian, gives us this dire warning when he said, "Christ's central theme is that God, not man, is the final authority. God has rights. Human beings have duties. We deny God his rights at our peril." Amen to that. The truth is, friend, we are put on this earth to serve, and our pivotal focus is not ourselves, but serving others, being the central focus of our existence. In reality, secularism is in fact an offshoot of the philosophy of atheism, and our educational and governmental system in this nation and all over Europe embraces this detrimental mindset. One observation is that secularists have an ongoing romance with big government, whereas Christians put their trust in the living God and respect government. However, we all know the bigger the government, the more our personal rights and freedoms become diminished. Some scholars claim that secularism is a reaction to the overly pious attitude of the European Middle Ages, where Christians would lock themselves up in monasteries, take vows of silence, focusing on God only, leaving all human affairs in the hands of others. As a reaction to this medieval tendency, secularism at the time of the Renaissance exhibited itself in the development of humanism, when people began to show more interest in human cultural achievements and the possibilities of their fulfillment in this world. You could argue that secularism arose because the church wrongly distanced itself from the everyday suffering of humanity and was indeed a backlash to the apathy of the body of Christ at the time. The leading authorities of secular humanism down the years include Isaac Asimov, Paul Kurtz, Corliss Lamont, Bertrand Russell, Julian Huxley, Margaret Sanger, Ted Turner, Richard Dawkins, and finally John Dewey. More on Dewey later. This movement towards secularism has been a progressive one during the entire course of modern history and continues unabated today. Secular humanism's mandate is to eradicate Jesus Christ from all realms of society, but especially in media, government, and public education. And one has to say, they've done a pretty darn good job of it up till now. Humanism began with the Greeks, of course, those lovers of wisdom and forgers of the foundation stone of all humanistic thought, namely atheism, the belief that there is no God. The Greek philosopher Protagoras came up with the genesis of this philosophy with his two-pronged statement that man is the measure of all things, and contradictory statements are equally true. But this, of course, is asinine and a lie. The French philosopher Desartes later tried to project his mind into the universe and concluded with these words, "I think, therefore I am." This was the moment that man began his road to self-worship and his foolish mind became darkened. Desartes' humanistic rationalism was then later expounded upon by the likes of Voltaire and Rousseau and further developed by men like Hegel, Ludwig, Feuerbach, and Nietzsche in the 19th century. But let's not forget that it was Thomas Aquinas, a saint according to the Catholic Church, who was much to blame regarding the infiltration of humanism into religious circles. Aquinas studied Aristotle to great lengths and managed to convince the church of the 13th century to embrace these humanistic views by mixing philosophy with scripture, and Christianity has been reeling ever since. Then later, during the 18th century, this rebellious philosophy gained momentum in France as the French skeptics and Jesuit scholars of Rousseau and Voltaire laid an intelligential framework for the ungodly and bloodthirsty French Revolution. In 1792, the French changed the calendar year to year one and proclaimed the goddess of reason in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. This female deity was nothing new, of course, and was emblematic of the ancient goddess Artemis to the Greeks, also known as Diana to the Romans. In their denial of Almighty God, the French revolutionists openly embraced this female deity, sparking insurrection in the people, eventually leading to the slaughter of 40,000 souls and 1,300 prisoners before it was all over. You see, humanism promises utopia for all, but delivers nothing but hell. When God is finally removed from society, it destroys everything it touches, because God placed his statutes upon us as loving constraints for our benefit. However, if these constraints are removed, anarchy and repression will inevitably transpire. If humanism began in the Renaissance period and was revitalized during the Enlightenment, then it was during the 20th century that its protocol was captured in a document called the Humanist Manifesto of 1933. This Humanist Manifesto was concocted by a group of 34 American humanists to document their philosophy, starting with their first affirmation, which stated they regarded the universe as self-existing and not created. This manifesto gained entrance into our school system through the decades, largely because of the American philosopher and educator John Dewey. It was later amended and expounded upon in 1973 under Humanist Manifesto II, and again in the year 2000. Dewey, the father of the progressive educational system and lauded by modern educators, did more for the secularist takeover of American education than any other man. He was an atheist, socialist, evolutionist, and board member of the British Fabian Society. He once said, "There is no God and there is no soul." He also claimed that truth is relative and absolutes are not admissible. Unfortunately, this man stripped the nation of its Christian values within the classroom, and by 1957, the secularist infiltration of our school system was well underway. Now, one observer, Cal Thomas, had this to say about the school system into which our children are subject to today. He said, and I quote, "The humanist left knows the only way it can create substantial numbers of new ideological and social robots eager to follow in their failed footsteps is to imprison substantial numbers of children in government schools where they are force-fed liberal ideology and lied to about sex, about history, and about a whole lot of other things at taxpayers' expense," unquote. A six-year-old doesn't make a decision to become transgender. That means this ideology has been taught to the child until he or she becomes indoctrinated to the point where they are coerced into the decision. This is the fruit we are now reaping from the humanistic educational system. The parents and teachers are culpable for the corruption of this child wrongly declaring gender as choice. Jesus warned of the dire consequences of harming one of these little ones, and what is taught in the classroom today is frankly disturbing, to say the least. Now, the end game of all humanists is to develop a one-world government and the dismantling of sovereign borders and ultimately nations by a worldwide organization possessing international sovereignty. But friend, they already have this weapon at their disposal. It's called the United Nations and is the shrine to which all humanists bow. The underlying premise of the United Nations is based on socialism. Socialism results in more government, and the United Nations is a springboard to a global government that one day no one will escape from. Socialism has proven to be a failure in every country in which it has been tried, including Russia, China, Eastern Europe, Africa, and Cuba. But there's a young and naive generation of Americans who see leaders like Bernie Sanders as a preacher of something new. But this is no new philosophy, friend. I urge these youngsters to pick up a history book and educate themselves, because the only people enamored with socialism today are young Americans who've never lived under it, but are willing to give it a try nonetheless. Do these youngsters know that the socialistic revolutions of the 20th century resulted in the murder of over 170 million people? The harsh reality is that all socialistic roads lead to the gulag and oppression of mankind. There is no alternative when you remove God from society. Because our millennials are not educated as to the harsh realities of socialism, they're ready to embrace something new but don't realize that getting something for free is always at the expense of someone else. Margaret Thatcher, the late Prime Minister of Great Britain, put it best this way, when she is claimed to have said, "The trouble with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money." The acid test is this. Let me ask you, is anyone running to gain citizenship into communist countries around the world? I don't think so. The late, great Tim LaHaye said it best when he said, "Humanism and communism are related. Humanism is the mother, communism is the daughter. Humanism is the root, communism the branch." We are in danger, friend, of losing this generation to the lies of socialism, as it's reinvented as the solution to worldwide poverty and equality for all. But these lies were sown in a flailing secular educational system, and we're now bearing the fruit of it. The saddest part of all is, although the current educational system is far-flung from its original Christian standard, did you know Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were all founded as seminaries, along with several other Ivy League universities? This is not surprising when you consider that 95% of the original founding fathers of this nation would qualify as Bible-believing Christians. The reality is Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were founded as Christian institutions of higher education. Harvard's rules for learning included the following, and I quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well that the main end of life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." Wow, friend, did you listen to that statement? If only universities of today would follow this charter. Most of the founding fathers were graduates of these Christian learning centers of Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, or Columbia. For the first 100 years of America's existence, and therefore the first 150 colleges founded, they were done so by a church denomination or religious group. How far we have fallen from this wonderful biblical legacy. Today, most of these universities do their very best to keep God outside its walls. The reality is humanists view man as independent, accountable to no one, self-directed, with unlimited goodness and potential. Yet we know from Scripture man is depraved, leaderless, lost, and in need of a savior. The agenda of secularists today is to press local leaders and politicians to pass legislature that takes the control of children away from their parents, giving it to the state. But what does God have to say to those who remove him from society and trust in man for their salvation? Well, Jeremiah 17 verses 5 through 8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the one that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness." Friend, God says any nation that puts trust in man instead of God is cursed. And since we removed prayer and the Bible from schools in 1962, violent crime has risen 350%. National morality figures have plummeted, and teen pregnancy has escalated rapidly. Illegal drug activity is up 6,000%, according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Teen suicides in the ages of 15 to 19 are up 450%, according to the National Center of Health Services. Friend, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 2:8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Friend, don't be spoiled by these dangerous atheistic philosophies, but wash your mind daily with the Word of God and stay rooted in Christ.
You've been listening to Carl Joseph and the Lions Unchained podcast. Carl is a minister who's witnessed God's supernatural power to save, heal, and deliver. Carl is a unique researcher who investigates current affairs, societal trends, technology, cults, and end-time events, all through a biblical lens. Every Monday, new podcasts are uploaded, so stay tuned for the next opportunity to roar into victory. Check out carljosephministries.com for exciting articles, teachings, and discussion points. See you next week, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button.